It's 12 o'clock, Newfoundland Daylight Savings Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern...
You're going to deny them access to great works of literature because there's a bit of cleavage on the cover?
Gee, Brad, I always thought you were such a tool.
One of the best minds of his generation, destroyed by beat, nostalgia, starving, hysterical, naked...
Calling all Canadians and inciting all Icelanders. Crank up that radio, cause there we blow. My name is Paul Moth. On today's show, big-headed brew, ha ha ha. The long arm of the censor sweeps clean the library shelves. And a puffball of magnetic mold, mushrooms from deep beneath the BCN. All this for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Here we go again, down, down through the maze, to the monotonous old vault where Director of Radio Ish Lundgren counts the golden hours until his retirement, treading water on the past.
Good day, Paul.
Hi, Ish, and what ho-hum event of yesteryear sees the light of this day?
What's wrong with you, Paul?
Nothing wrong with me.
You've been moping around the building for weeks. Come on, out with it.
Well, it's just that back in April when Ginsberg died, you promised you'd find that BCN show on the underground poetry scene that was going on here in the 50s. But all we get is week after week of old stuff that interests you. Why can't you indulge my interests just once?
Look at him. Paul Moth, one of the best minds of his generation, destroyed by beat, nostalgia, starving, hysterical, naked.
Ish, you found it.
No, Paul, I didn't find it. I picked it out when I was good and ready.
Wow, I remember hearing this piece as a kid. Yeah, it had a profound effect on my life.
St. John's was a hotbed of that sort of poetry.
Yeah, I think it even predated Ginsberg and Furlong Eddy.
Yes, you're right there. Bleep, they called it.
Yeah, and it had a regular pad.
Ned Wright ran a club over on Duckworth, just east of us here.
What was it called? Huh?
It didn't really have a name. If you knew about it, you knew where it was. But for shorthand, you just played a bongo beat on your leg around the table.
A neat idea.
Yeah. When, opened in 1956 in St. John's, Dirk Pilgrim did a feature for an investigative show we had called Checkpoint. And here it is.
The doorway to this inner city St. John's Club lies down four poured concrete steps. Here we find a wooden door painted black, its missing window pane replaced with cardboard. Angus, the door guy in hip parlance, is likewise garbed in black. Although it is nighttime, Angus wears his sunglasses, or shades.
Password, Daddy-O. Groovy, man. Enter.
Down the dark hall I stumble, past self-styled hipsters, reclining against the filthy wall, all got up in this generation's uniform. Their pointy little beards, carefully manicured, berets at a jaunty angle, shapeless woolen sweaters to match with their rumpled chinos and scuffed penny loafers. Obligatory shades and cigarettes that dangle. The stench of burnt coffee hangs in the air.
But I see, you see.
But that's not all that hangs in this air. These beatniks support a tiny ring of would-be artistes. Poets, they say, inventing their own style. Bleach poetry. Poetry in protest. And in the drawing room of this hovel, one of them now declaims his protestation.
Of nighttime hours. The yakking of the business beasts of burden. Stripping gears and racing. Chains whirring. Up the mount of moneyed madness. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Slit sleeves, slice slowly. Run, blood, run. Wait. Death's head, poison fang! The toxic pox that rocks the socks of the plot and shocks the box of the music of the clocks! Chime, bars, chime! Yeah, ring and chime, plug and slime. Everywhere I hear the sound of marching, charging feet, boy. Think the time is right for our palace revolution. For fighting in the streets, boy.
Well, let's just see if we can make it through the crowd here and speak to this would-be local versifier. Ryan, is it?
Yeah, man, that's right. Ryan, way cool.
Well, Ryan, we've just heard you read an excerpt from your lengthy new work, Wallow. Tell the people of Newfoundland what the central meaning of Wallow is.
Well, Daddy-O, it's the now. I reflect the current condition, the temperature, the climate, the pulse, you know, like the way things are. Straight, man, that's what I'm saying.
Which is to say that...
What do you mean, playing it dumb, man? You listen to Pat Boone and think it's art. You buy your cars and build your homes and swing your loans. And what you're really doing, interviewer man, is avoiding life.
Let me tell you something, young man.
Why is it that in retrospect everything seems so...
Bad?
Well, innocent anyway. Pretentious, maybe. Did anything ever become of Ryan or Angus or any of the Bleed Poets?
Well, someone told me Ryan is running an aromatherapy and hair design school.
Oh, get out.
And Angus is still in the bar business.
Really?
He owns the Stinkhammer.
Jeez, I never would have guessed. Well, thanks for this, Ish. It's not quite as stirring as I remembered it, but it was a blast, man.
It was a time which darkness could kill in an instant. A time as easily hurt by laughter or light.
That's cool, Daddy, yeah.
See you next time. In the vault.
Heisenberg's uncertainty principle? You know, I'm not sure. This week on University of the Air, Dr. Ernie White puts the fizz back in physics with a potpourri of party tricks that demonstrate fundamental laws of the universe. How a few simple twists can turn a paper napkin into a Mobius strip and a peekaboo strapless brassiere. What dust ball accumulation reveals about chaos theory, the black hole game, and turning a bout of the spins into a great opportunity to show off the basic principles of particle acceleration. Fusion? Fix me a drink and meet me upstairs for Dr. Ernie White's Physics Party Tricks on University of the Air, Thursday morning at 10, only on BCN 520.
The week does fly, and what will the wind whisk in but the most popular game show in the Northern Hemisphere, What's That Noise from Newfoundland? Last week we had a winner in our contest, and the new guesses at the current noise have been flowing in thick and fast. Hollis Duffett, person with finger poised above the sound button, give us a push. That is the hubbub, bub. Let's see if anybody really knows what that is. Down into the bag of listener mail I descend, and here's an email. I haven't had one of these in a while, and it's from... How do you read the addresses on these? Oh, I see. He's put his address on the bottom. Smart guy. It's from Torbay, a satellite community circling the sun that is the capital city of St. John's, Newfoundland, and it's from Dave Dempster. And Dave writes... Paul, I was most disappointed in the result of last weekend's draw. And he goes on at some great length here to accurately identify the sound. And then he continues, but you picked out an entry from Nova Scotia. I can only presume that the BCN is conducting its own little covert operation in national unity. Let a token mainlander win a Newfoundland prize, and they won't kick us out of Confederation without our old age pension checks. It won't work. Now to the new sound, which I recognized immediately. It is, of course, a winter sound from Duckworth Street. In fact, from the front steps of the BCN building itself. The sound of a steel snow shovel, not aluminum, being scraped to remove snow, but also and mainly ice, from the entrance to the Holy of Holies, the BCN building. And that's signed Dave Dempster of Torbay, Newfoundland. First, Dave, sorry, the noise from Newfoundland is not a shovel, neither steel nor aluminum, so keep guessing. And second, there is no plan here, no BCN National Unity subtext. All the submissions to What's That Noise from Newfoundland are placed in a giant mail sack drum barrel type thing, and each week I draw an entry at random. Enough of the doubting Dempster faithful fans. Get your pencil and paper ready. I'll give you the contest address right after you hear the noise one more time. Hollis Duffett, if you would be so kind. Okay.
More noise than you can shake a stick at. If you think you recognize it, write us immediately at What's That Noise for Newfoundland, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5. Or email us. Our electronic address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. When I was over in Reykjavik a month or so ago for our annual Last Weekend in August in Iceland show, Björk gave me a copy of her brand new album, but when I got home, I couldn't find it anywhere. This week, when Mom was doing my jeans, the CD fell out. And surprise, surprise, Björk's written a song and dedicated it to me. So here, from Björk to me to you, and from her new album, Homogenic, this is Alarm Call. The debate over censorship blew up again this past week. The St. John's Accumulated School Board announced it was pulling a number of controversial books from the curriculum and removing others from library shelves. To discuss the matter, we welcome to the studio Dale Ebsery, head of Ad Hoc Parents for Freedom in Education.
Hello, Paul.
Dale, your group has issued a press release condemning the actions of the board?
That's right.
We feel there's nothing in the world of literature that can harm our children, especially if we bring parents into the learning process, discuss things openly with our kids.
Openly with kids.
We have a tendency to underestimate the sophistication of children.
I wonder why, eh? When you see them standing there with their fingers up their nose and their mouths agape. Well, let's have a look at this list. What exactly has been pulled? Oh, Coriolanus. Pretty explicit stuff.
No, Coriolanus, the Shakespeare play.
Ah, right. Yep. No one ever reads that anyway.
They've also banned As You Like It and Two Gentlemen of Verona. All books by Longfellow.
Hedda Gabler.
Hard Times, The Third Man, The Edible Woman.
Yeah, I saw the film. That was filthy.
George Eliot's Adam Bede has been removed from school libraries.
Adam Bede? You can't be serious. For what?
Well, some parents got hysterical when they found their son studying the book at home a little too intently.
Really? I remember it as an incredibly dry novel.
They were studying the cover.
Well, let's have a look at this. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Quite an illustration.
I'll say, what would you call that? A bodice, is it?
Or bodice.
Teenage boys. I remember I spent hours with
the catalogs. Ridiculous, Paul. Kids see worse than that at the local corner store. Mm. You're going to deny them access to great works of literature because there's a bit of cleavage on the cover?
Yeah, that is ridiculous. So it's quite an innovative novel, actually, Adam Bede. Probably the time that I gave it a second chance. You don't mind if I just borrow this?
No, no, not at all.
Okay, let's see what else is here. Mein Kampf, taken off the grade 8 social studies curriculum. Surely you can't argue with that.
We may disagree with some of the views expressed in these books, but that doesn't mean they should be suppressed. Our kids probably should be reading Mein Kampf, what with the current resurgence of many of those same ideas in Canadian politics.
Hitler was only 53 when he died, huh? Wait a minute, they banned the Rocky Road to Recovery.
I assumed you knew they'd taken your book off the curriculum.
What was the justification for that?
Parents complained that you were a poor role model.
What? I'm a perfect role model. I mean, I've bounced back. I'm off the booze, I'm off the blow, I'm holding down a regular job.
I understand the passages describing your low point in Los Angeles.
That stuff is instructive. You can't take it out. I mean, if kids really see, and I mean really see, where a man can go when he gets
I'm with you, Paul.
Just because it's 1997, some unelected cabal of spineless school officials, hounded by a few right-wing extremists, can dictate what our children read?
Yeah, I guess they can.
That's true, right. Well, anyway, destined to fail though you might be, Dale, I'm glad there are groups like yours out there fighting for freedom of thought and expression.
Thanks, Paul.
I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this issue. Dale Ebsery is a representative for Ad Hoc Parents for Freedom in Education.
Good afternoon. I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights for the coming week. Tomorrow night on Doc.Doc, part 7 of Benton Christopher's award-winning documentary series, Where Once They Chewed Cud, The Rise and Fall of the Newfoundland Dairy Industry. Christopher revisits the Carnation Evaporated Cheese Scandal of 1952 to explain the sudden demise of the master curd makers of Kilbride. That's Sunday night at 9 on Doc.Doc. And at 9 on Wednesday night, don't miss the finals of this year's 30 for 60 Collegiate Championship. Quizmaster Lofty Knoll keeps the questions coming, the quips flying, and the cursing kosher in this brutal, brain-crunching, winner-take-all intercollegiate grudge match between last year's champ Shaheen Academy and perennial also-ran St. Matthew's High. Don't renege on 30 for 60, Wednesday at 9. And this week on Symposium, Fashionable Maladies of the French Philosophes. The Marquis de Condorcet's diatonic intestinal disorder revived salon society in the 1780s. But did it also inspire Mozart to compose the Magic Flute? Series host Anne-Marie Pratt answers these and other questions as she leads you on a fascinating five-part tour of the Enlightenment obsession with public displays of affliction. That's on Symposium, weeknights at 7. A full schedule of entertaining and informative programming, only on BCN 520, All Newfoundland Radio.
Who, having lived through the 70s in Newfoundland, will not remember this radio advertisement?
Ah, Big Lad. Big Glad Cream Ale. The old smoothie with the big head.
The Great Eastern Salute to Local Industry continues this week with a visit to Big Lad Breweries, a sprawling red brick complex at the foot of Monk's Lane in the heart of the old town. With me is Maureen Ladd, Vice President for Sales and Marketing of the Big Lad Brewing Company. Thanks for joining us, Maureen.
Thanks for coming down and promoting local industry.
Well, it doesn't look like you need the promotion. Things are very busy around here.
That's right, Paul. Big Lad's expanding. We've doubled our output over the past 6 months.
Well, that's quite a turnaround. The company was on the verge of bankruptcy just a few years ago, wasn't it?
Well, my dad.
That big Bernard lad.
Yeah. He was the only local brewer who didn't sell out to Labatt's or Molson's.
What a guy.
Well, the product was antiquated and the marketing was primitive. In 91, my brothers, Gary and Rod, took over, and they tried to turn Big Lad into a microbrewery, but there were problems. Here, you can see for yourself.
Oh, wow. This is a microbrewery.
Right.
I had no idea they were so small.
Japanese technology. Very expensive and temperamental.
Look at those tiny gauges.
You can see how hard it is to get production volumes up to profitable levels.
Yeah, but it is awfully cute, though.
And the micro line, well, we lad just didn't sell.
Surprising, hey, with micro beers being so popular these days.
While I was doing my MBA at Harvard, I realized that Big Lad should build on its strengths. So we became North America's first macro brewery.
Wow. Daring move, Maureen. It's very much against current suds think.
Exactly what sets us apart. Another light beer, who cares? But a heavy beer, everyone wants to try it.
Well, almost everyone.
Sorry?
I don't drink. I'm sworn off the booze.
Oh, too bad. This is the point in the tour where we ply people with free beer and they get totally blotto.
What Newfoundland hospitality.
But if anyone's still standing afterwards, we take them down to the museum.
Oh, that sounds good. What a spot.
Over here is our pantheon of product through the ages.
Oh, boy. Some of these really bring back memories.
Here we have the original line of huge brews. Pilsner Long.
Uh-huh.
Extra Stout.
Oh, that was Dad's drink.
And, of course, the classic.
Big Lad Cream Ale. Call me old-fashioned, Maureen, but I really miss that bottle. The Chubby, we used to call it.
We were thinking of bringing back the Chubby, but no one could remember how they got that ridge in the bottle.
And it sat really comfortably in the hand. Huh? Oh, look, Black Porter. That's the first beer I ever got drunk on.
Really?
Oh, yep. Me and Bill Murphy and Cy Hibbs. Oh, man. We got some old rubby to get us a case from Dunphy's down on Water Street. And then we went up back to St. Matthew's and we guzzled it down in jig time. Myself and Cy just heaved our guts up till dawn. Oh, my, what a great night that was.
I'll bet.
Well, that's not a bad idea for a commercial, you know, a kind of nostalgic memory of a Big Lad's first Big Lad. Don't you think?
Yeah, but actually, we just had an L.A. company come in to produce a new series of ads for us, and we're really pumped about them.
Well, you know who to call the next time.
Sure.
Maureen Ladd, thank you so much for this abridged tour, and congratulations on your success. It's truly exciting to see Big Lad getting ahead again.
Thanks.
And let's go out with that hot new commercial. How much did you say it cost?
2.6.
Thou.
2.6 million, Paul.
Dollars?
Can I have a Big Lad, please?
Gee, Brad, I always thought you were such a tool.
Yeah?
But now that I see you with that Big Lad in your hand...
Yeah?
I just can't wait to have sex with you.
Wow! This is great beer! Thanks, 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 thanks.
The Big Lad is back.
You're listening to The Great Eastern on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland with your host, Paul Moth.
An active line on a walk moving freely without goal. A walk for a walk's sake. Given the possibility of any number of equally occurring events, I'd rather be walking. Ah, yes, the game's afoot. Off on a perambulation. Taking the air. Doing the funky chicken. That's me. A pedestrian by avocation, traipsing the streets of Old St. John's. The benefits of a pleasurable stroll are various and many. It cleanses the mind, invigorates the moribund bard, and informs those of curious disposition. What a world opens itself when we take the time to look, when we don't rush from one place to another. Of course, you'll notice the lollygagging layabouts, the halt, the lame, the mangy copulating mongrels, the ripped bags of garbage, the overflowing dumpsters, the taxi drivers exchanging tokes between cabs drawn up nose to tail and side by side. But you can see so much more than common tawdriness. Look for the common beauty. Oh, the golden dust sprinkled through the last summer green and first autumn brown, red, rust, and fuchsia in the Southside Hills forest. Sit on a harbor stanchion, and you can see the color change before your very eyes. Marine magic. The harbor bustles gently as offshore activity salts the stew of our port life, once more a simmer with Hibernia in the offing. The raucous cries of the sailors and their sweethearts on shore fill the blue air. On this one day, forego the ring roads and expressways. Wave goodbye to the malls. Thumb your nose at the megastores. This one day, celebrate the hike. Explore your hometown. Take your feet and something you love for a trek downtown. Open up, Canada. The Great Eastern is broadcast live to you from our studios in St. John's. Hollis Duffett is our engineer and Ish Lundrigan, the director of radio at the BCN. Send mail to 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can e-us at greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Our homepage in the World Wide Web is www.greateastern.cbc.ca. The Great Eastern is rebroadcast on Radio 2 of the CBC service on Saturday evenings, and in Latin America, the Caribbean, and the United States on Sunday via the shortwave service of Radio Canada International. My name is Paul Mott. Join me again next Saturday for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Hello, I am Erling Biggs, your award-winning weather watchdog with Traffic Alert. Traffic Alert brought to you by Furlong Confections, makers of knobs in Newfoundland for over 50 years. Because of a St. Finian's fundraiser, the school's soccer team is hoping to enter the Guinness Book of World Records by preparing the world's largest boiled dinner. Owing to this event, traffic is logy at the Court Royal roundabout. If you are out and about today, why not visit St. Finian's and support the squad by purchasing a plate of salt beef and cabbage? 60,000 moose licenses have been issued in Newfoundland this season, so it's no wonder that we have to report heavy gunfire on the Southern Shore Highway near the horse chops. Anyone heading down the shore today should take care. Tonight, Friday, why not... No, sorry, I'm afraid it's an announcement from yesterday. A public notice, notice here for cake recipes. Is this right? In my file, cake recipes.